We'll talk about Shavuos this morning. It's like very interesting. As many times as you think you know the story and go over it again, you discover that you never really understood anything was going on. This Torah has that way of giving over its... its own sense of its infinity is just unbelievable. Start with one very general question. Rashi tells us that at Sinai, the first time that God spoke to us, he first said the Ten Commandments, all ten, the exact same time. Something that's impossible for a human being to hear, really. But that's the way God gave it over. Miraculous giving it over to us, all ten simultaneously. Nobody could speak ten things at the same time. Not one person can say ten things at the same time. And nobody could hear ten things at the same time.
How could they be written down that quickly? No.
I don't know what they were written then. And then afterwards, the Almighty gave it order, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So the obvious question is, what was the need, what was the reason for the miracle? Or is this a miracle that has no point? God first said all the Ten Commandments, all ten at the exact same time, which nobody could really understand other than miraculously. And even then, it wasn't a real understanding, because afterwards, God then said, one, two, three. What was the need? Maimonides tells us a very interesting thing, that a rule that God does not do any miracles just to show his omnipotence that he can do a miracle. Every single miracle has to have a specific reason. We split the Red Sea so we could get to the other side. We don't have what to eat, so manna comes down from heaven. But there's nothing that God does when he was doing miracles, just to show he can do a miracle. What is the purpose of this miracle? This miracle doesn't seem to make any single sense. All ten one time that nobody could even really say, nobody could really understand. And then afterwards, he then enumerates them, one, two, three, says them the way we've always understood. What I said is what Rashi says. The first all ten were said at one time, one sentence in the Torah, and then the next sentence was that he gave the way we understand, one, two, three, four. What's the purpose of that miracle? That's the question I'd like to start with. Torah tells us on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, which was yesterday, thousands of years ago, Jewish people arrived at Mount Sinai. And then it says, on the following morning, which, by the way, the Baal HaTurim says on that, that when Moshe asked the Almighty, what was the big deal, what merit did the Jewish people have that you're taking them out of Egypt? When he asked them, when God sent them back as an agent to go talk to Pharaoh, he said, what's the merit of the Jewish people? So God answered Moses, tomorrow, on the morrow, someday in the future, they're going to accept the Torah. The Baal HaTurim says, that day was yesterday. The obvious question is, yesterday they didn't do anything. They didn't accept the Torah till a few days later. So all they did was show up. We're not one of these people that the main thing is showing up, right? You're supposed to learn, you're supposed to accomplish, not just show up. What is the Baal HaTurim saying? All they did was show up. The next morning, Moshe went up to the mountain to the Almighty, and God said, you should say, give the message to the women and to the men. I took you out. You saw how miraculously I took you out of Egypt. By the way, that's today. This event happened on the day after Rosh Chodesh, that Moshe got this message from the Almighty, and I brought you miraculous to me. They traveled a great distance in a miraculous moment, a matter of seconds. And if you do my covenant, and you'll be precious to me from all the other nations of the world, I will make you a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. This is what you should tell the Jewish people. And Moshe goes and he tells the elders of Israel, and he says, puts in front of them everything that God said. And everybody told him whatever the Almighty said will do, and Moshe gave those words back to the Almighty. So Rashi explains that there's a lot here missing in the simple reading of the text, but Rashi says the way our sages interpret it is as follows. When Moses said this to the Almighty in the name of the Jewish people, I heard this response, but they weren't happy. They don't want to hear that you're going to speak to me and give, and they're going to overhear me speaking, they're going to overhear you speaking to me. They want to hear from you directly. Because if they hear God speaking to Moses, then they're hearing the message directly. If God speaks to Moses and then Moses tells them, they've gotten secondhand. They don't want that. There's no difference between, there's no comparison between someone who hears from the agent or someone who hears from the king himself. And they would like to see the Almighty. They'd like to have a direct relationship. And then the Almighty says, well, if so, then they have to make themselves holy and sanctify themselves. Somebody comes to give you a gift. Kabbalah Satorah is a gift. Can you imagine saying, I don't like the way you're getting, give me a little nicer car. Do something nicer. You know, I'm coming, someone's going, I'm buying you a nice car. Maybe you'll get me a Mercedes. Maybe give me a BMW. Maybe you give me top of the line. God is coming. Torah is a gift from the Almighty. It's called the Matana. It's a gift from the Almighty. No, God, we don't want the way you're supposed to. You're going to talk to Moses, and the Jews are going to overhear. They want to hear directly from you. Where did they get a notion that this should be something that they should even be? I mean, it's a chutzpah, in my opinion. Someone gives you a gift. Somebody you love, you're not going to, your husband gives you a gift, and not quite what you were expecting for your birthday. It's not very, it's a little crass to say it. I was expecting something a little bit more, a little fancier, a little nicer. Maybe there's a, you know, maybe should you have matching earrings too. I mean, whatever it is, I mean, what are they talking about? God is offering them an enormous gift, and he wants to know if they're going to accept the Torah. Say, yeah, but we want it a little bit different. What does that mean? Where should they even entertain this mishigas? It's very difficult. I say, this is not a question I'd actually ever thought about before. As I went through the sentences, a very interesting question. The Almighty says one thing to them, and they say, yes, but we want it differently. Say the way you want it. Say the way you want it. Alright, so our questions were number one, what was the idea of the miracle of all 10 commandments being heard simultaneously in a miraculous way, which didn't do anything because they couldn't even learn it that way, and then they had to say it over in sequential order. So what was the purpose of that miracle? Second, what was so significant, the fact that they showed up there? Number three, the Almighty sent a message, I want to give them the Torah. And they said, God, we'd like it a little differently. He was telling them, I'm going to talk to Moses and you'll overhear. He said, no, we want to hear directly from you. It's a little bit unbelievable. And then everything else comes based on that. But because they said that, therefore they had to postpone receiving the Torah, and they had to go through a process of sanctification, which they probably wouldn't have to been otherwise. I'd like to begin with, I think, a very interesting thing. It's probably a very important message that we should have to internalize ourselves. And I'll tell you I'd like to begin with where they knew this from. How do we view the Torah? We view it as God gave us 613 mitzvahs, rules of living, wonderful rules of living, the optimum way to live. I once heard from somebody that if he even found out there'd be no God, he'd still keep all the mitzvahs because it's the best way of living, which is true. It's discipline and it's uplifting. There's one thing here, though, that when you think of the Jewish people, you think of us as a nation. He was giving the Torah to the nation. And yet the way Moshe was told to give it over to the Jewish people is the following way. You should first tell to the women and then to the men. What's the reason for that? Because Somar lebeis Yaakov, in one sentence, I would tell the women, v'saged lebnei Yisrael, and then tell the men. Rashi says actually in Somar it was a softer way to tell the women, and to the men a tougher way. We don't find any indication that the men didn't hear both, and we don't find any indication that the women didn't hear both also. So I don't understand when he first tell the men, women, and men. Why wasn't it necessary women and men? There could only be one possible explanation to this. That there's something that women had that was a prerequisite to us receiving, to men, the Jewish people receiving the Torah, first the message had to go to the women. That's what the Torah tells us here. And the question exactly is, what does that mean? Why does the message have to go to them first? It can't be anything other than there must be something about women, that they have a certain ability to learn or understand things that has to be a prerequisite to our accepting the Torah. If the way most of us generally define Torah as a learning experience, a cognitive experience, 613 mitzvahs, the rules and regulations, I don't know that there's anything uniquely necessary for a woman's abilities. I don't know that a woman has better learning abilities than a man. I don't know that we should even think that. Why couldn't they all hear it together? By saying first the women, it's telling us that there's something that's uniquely connected to women, which means it can't just be a cognitive learning experience. The way the Almighty created the world, that was the way He did it from its inception, is that women are the ones who have the ability to empower the children, as we spoke about that, because they have the ability to sense what's going on in somebody else. They have the sense of feeling somebody else. There's an intuition that you can go beyond what the surface is. A man looks at things, and a woman, it's not objective looks. There's a sense of trying to understand and feel. Now, the obvious disadvantage that is that sometimes you miss the, you don't see it as objective as possible. On the other hand, the very fact that there's intuition means that you see things that may go way beyond what looks on the surface. Objectivity can only allow you to look what's on the surface. To go beyond that, to have a feel for something, requires a certain ability to penetrate the surface. The first thing is, God has informed us that learning Torah is not rules and regulations. It's a relationship with God. It's not rules and regulations. Rules and regulations are the means of developing, of connecting to God. We're not talking about here of rules of how to live, how observe the mitzvahs, rules of behavior. We're talking about rules of an emotional connection to the Almighty. In fact, as they will find out later on, which had not been announced at this time, and I don't know that it would have been that way had the changes that we'll find are going to happen, it was a marriage. Sinai was a marriage. Now, that's a very funny way to think about the ruler of the universe giving rules and regulations for mankind. It's not a marriage. That's not a marriage, and yet the event of Sinai was a marriage. Rashi says that the reason that the Almighty was there before the Jewish people is because the groom goes to the chuppah before the kallah. That's in our Torah. That's Rashi says it here, and he repeats it in Parshas Zosa Brocha, and again Parshas Kisisa. Giving the Torah was a marriage. We're talking about marriage. We're not talking about a learning experience of rules and regulations. We're talking about giving Himself over to us. Now, it's true. He allowed us to, and He gave us a glimpse into His inner self Kaviyachol speaking, I'm just using that anthropomorphic way, God's inner self. I don't mean that literally, but he gave us something. He's not talking about how we have to act. He's letting us know who he is. He's not talking about what the deal is, has to be done, what he expects from us. That's true. But that's only indicative because he's talking about entering into a real relationship with us, which means now we've changed the understanding of what the event of Sinai was. Till today, we all thought Sinai was the time he gave us 613 mitzvahs. The rest of mankind from the dawn of creation had 7 mitzvahs, and now God expanded it to 613, more comprehensive, more ability to develop ourselves, obviously. All that's true, but it was much, much more than that. God was creating a relationship between him and us. He was revealing himself to us. He's not only talking about, someone writes you a love letter. It's a love letter, not just a rule and regulation. This is what I like for supper, and this is what I want you to do in the morning with my breakfast. It's a love letter. The Talmud tells the word Anochi in the Ten Commandments is an acronym. Anon Nafshoi Ksivi Yehevis. I, myself, gave over and delivered to you. I gave myself over to you. Now, who's going to have a better idea of when you want to talk about the inner self? The rules and regulations, the men will catch at least as well, maybe even better. But if we're talking about not just 613 mitzvahs, we're talking about with whom we have a relationship, who is more eminently qualified from the dawn of creation, a man to understand that or a woman? Whose sensitivity is better to understand, to feel the person on the other side, a man or a woman? I've given this business advice and people think I'm very smart. It's really all over the Torah. Before you negotiate a business deal, you think about going into a deal, take your wife along and meet the person. And the reason I say this all the time is a deal is only as good as the people involved in the deal. Every deal can be made to sound great, and every deal looks like it's a great contract, and nobody ever made a deal that they didn't, on paper, didn't look good, if they had at least good legal advice. But no deal is any better than the people that are involved. A deal is only the people that are involved. There's no such thing as a good business deal, a good partnership. It's always who are you making the deal with. The deal is the smallest part, and for that, a woman will have a much better chance. She has a feel for the person. You're looking at the numbers. She doesn't have to read the spreadsheet. She doesn't have to do any of the accounting work, doesn't need any of that information. Because any real good deal is who you're dealing with. Because the worst deal, dealing with a good person, will come out. And the best deal, dealing with not a good person, is worthless. That's the basic foundation of everything. And therefore, God is telling us who he is. Not only what to do and what the terms of the contract are, he's letting us know who he is. How do I know he's letting us know who he is? Because he says, first deliver the message to the women. He's telling all of us, he's telling the entire Jewish people, it's not about rules and regulations. There's an underlying giving of myself to you, and of course I expect you to respond in kind also. We're not talking about a business deal. We're not talking about a contract in between a sovereign and his people. That's also a contractual relationship. We're talking about a love relationship. We're talking about giving myself over to you. The only ones who are, or those that are more qualified to do that is the women. And therefore, he was telling the men, I first want the women to get the message. That was to teach all of us, not just to the women, is that don't think here that we're just talking about rules and regulations and mitzvahs. We're talking about an inner connection between us and God. That was the first thing that Sinai is. That when Moses went up to Mount Sinai to get the Torah, God told him, I want you to first tell the women, tell the men, give them the background of everything I've done for them, and see, do they want to accept the Torah? The fact that God told it that way, tell the women, told the men, that delivered a message to Moshe. This is the relationship. We're not talking about rules and regulations only. We're talking about a relationship with the Almighty. And therefore, they have some negotiation space, or it's not just the present, it's a relationship. It's not God is giving us rules. No, we don't want to hear the rules said this way. We want it that way. It's a relationship. A relationship is he wants, he's giving of himself, but that means he wants something, he wants us to give of ourselves back too. And therefore, the way we feel we can give something back, if we're involved in the relationship, if Moshe Rabbeinu is just going to deliver to us the rules that God's giving, as opposed to us actually being party and hearing it directly from God, then we don't feel as involved. We're not as emotionally committed to that. It's not that I want a nicer gift. Once he explained, once they were astute enough to understand that when the fact that the Almighty said, tell the women first and then the men, it's not only rules and regulations, but it's a relationship. And I tell you what, my needs in a relationship, in order for me to get emotionally involved, I got to hear that directly from you. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear you. I don't want to just get a letter in the mail. This is the rules and regulations. That was interesting, actually. You know, marriage is the only contract you actually need. In all other contracts, in Jewish law, the biggest multi-billion dollar deals, nobody has to talk. All they have to do is, there has to be a meeting of the minds. I'm going to give money, this is the price, but nobody has to talk. Marriage has to talk because you want to hear the voice of the person too. Voices are really getting to know who you are. It's not just rules and regulations, it's wanting to know who you are too. And that the women are a lot more capable of getting that feel. Before the men get involved, the women should hear. And of course, it doesn't mean the women don't hear the second part, it doesn't mean the men don't hear the first part. But the ones who are more capable of understanding the first part, that's a message for the women. The women will explain it to the men afterwards. That's what the Torah is telling us. And I think that's probably the basis that when it became a marriage. Until then, it wasn't a marriage. Well, what's marriage? We're marriage. Yeah, afterwards, God says, he comes down to who thought about marriage? Who thought Sinai was a marriage? Why is it a marriage? A king tells his people, I'm the king, this is the contract, and I expect this obedience. Why should it be a marriage? Where is there any indication? Yes, we know that God was there before them, and therefore Rashi points out that it was a marriage. If God came to Mount Sinai before the people, the groom comes to the chuppah before the kala. That's the way it should be because she's coming into his domain. But why should God have done that? Well, I mean, people should have been shocked. Marriage, we're talking about, we're going to the table to sign an international contract, an international treaty. The day God said, bring the women, tell the women first, he was letting us know this is an emotional relate. He's giving himself over, and he expects us to respond in kind. That was why the women had to hear first. I think that really changed it to a marriage. And therefore, in a marriage, if you want me to be involved, I need this. I need that you should talk to me, not send me messages through your messenger. A husband and wife don't communicate through an intermediary. That has to be a personal communication. A chuppah, you can't make an agent for a chuppah. You could actually make an agent to give a young woman a ring and you'd be married. But a chuppah to become that you're actually one, that requires, you can't have anybody stand in for you for a chuppah. You could have an agent to give a ring, but the chuppah, that has to be the husband has to be there in person because it's a relationship. You can't have somebody standing in a relationship. Which means now we got a new understanding of what Har Sinai is. Har Sinai was a relationship between us and God. The mitzvahs are the evidence of the relationship, but they're not the corpus of the relationship. It's not about doing mitzvahs. It's about creating a reality of oneness between us and him. And by the way, isn't that why the Almighty told us all 10 commandments at one time. It's not about learning. He says 1, 2, 3, 4. He gave us rules and regulations. This is not about rules and regulations. You know what it really is? It's something that you can't even understand. It's not possible for a human being to learn that way. The real truth is, we become united and merged with the Almighty. That's the absolute truth. Yes, there are rules and regulations, how we have to behave, but the real relationship is the part that can't even be quantified in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It has to come one time. It's just a merger, and it's an impossibility to even learn that way. Nobody can learn. It's an impossibility to learn that way. The only way one can learn is 1, 2, 3. We're not talking about learning, we're talking about becoming one. Becoming one, we merge with him, becoming one. In fact, it's interesting also. We are capable of decompartmentalizing ourselves. The Almighty is an absolute, indivisible one. So actually, the fact that it came out one, that was really all together at the same time, that really can be, means that was the beginning of merging with him. The expression was an expression of merging. God made a miracle that we merged with him. And that was more important than the rules and regulations. With the same rules and regulations, but the rules and regulations are only the sign or the expressiveness of the underlying sense of oneness between he and us. That was what the Torah was. Now we begin to understand that. Otherwise, it makes no sense. He said all 10 at one time. He's showing how smart he is. He's showing how omnipotent he is. That violates everything we know about God. He doesn't do miracles to show his omnipotence, only where it's necessary. He's telling us what the experience of Sinai is. It's not 10 commandments. It's becoming one with the Almighty. And that he actually told us that by the fact that the first people that have to be involved here are the women. They have a much better understanding of that than men. It's not logical. I know when I was a boy in the yeshiva, I remember my roommate who was going out. I don't know how women do it, but I tell you the way he did. He started writing. He had like a list on a yellow pad. Pluses, and another on the other side, things that didn't go so well. I don't know, maybe women do the same thing. To me, it sounded ludicrous, you know. I guess it was 42 to 37. Oh, this is a girl I can marry, is that? You have to do that. You're just not capable, in my opinion, of making the right decision. I mean, he wrote it down. She's this. She doesn't have this. She doesn't have this. That's not the basis. It's the feeling. You just know it's right for you. You don't know it's right for you. There has to be something that transcends the... Because first of all, because it's very hard to know how much weight should you allocate to different strengths and how much... Do you subtract for certain weaknesses? How does anybody know that? There's no chemical measuring. It means because it's not about that at all. It's about getting a feel for the person. That's the only basis of making a good decision. That's what the Almighty did. And that's what the Jewish people were saying. You're offering us the Torah, but on the other hand, you're hinting to us that it's a lot more. So you got to talk to us. If you want more than just rules and regulations, God, you got to talk to us. We want you to talk to us directly. That's what happened. This explains another thing. It's a very interesting story in the Gemara. It's a very interesting language in the Gemara. Rabbi Yosef said, regarding the holiday of Shavuos, Ilaf Hayom, if it wouldn't be for today, Kama Yosi Ika Bishuka. There would be a lot of Joes in the street. I don't know where the word Joe, but you know, that's in English too. G.I. Joe. Joe College. Joe is the everyday person. They call him Joe. I don't know where that comes from. In some languages, the word Joe means beloved. I don't know. But you're right. That's the way you say it. In English also, you use the word Joe as talking. He's a regular, what?
Joe Bro.
Yeah, regular guy. Regular. I'm saying G.I. Joe. That's what it is. Joe Collins. That comes from the Gemara. Ilav Hayom, if it wouldn't be for the holiday of Shavuos, Kama Yosis, many Joses would be out there in the street. I'm just saying, The Talmud uses also Joe. I don't know Pshat in the Gemara, but somebody comes up with why the world. It can't be coincidence. It just can't be a coincidence. But what is bothering me? It always bothers me something else. That's something I don't understand. That's hard to answer. I'll tell you what does bother me, because it's not why you pick Joe, why you pick Frank. That's not an intelligent question. It's a good question, but that's not a question that lends itself to analysis that's easy to answer. You just need a lot of information. But I'll tell you one question that's a very compelling question. Is it the day or the event? It must have to do with the day. Elav Hayom, Elav that we receive the Torah. That's what he's saying. If it wouldn't be for receiving the Torah, I'd be like everybody else. If it wouldn't be that Torah values, I'd be like everybody else. My unique growth has nothing to do with me, but the fact that I have a connection to Torah. That's what he was saying. So why is he saying Elav Hayom? If it were not for today, it wasn't today, if it would be not for the fact of Torah, that God gave us the Torah. I think he's saying it's like this. Had the Torah been given as the rules and regulations, he'd be the same as a lot of other people. Rules and regulations. He's an expert in Torah. Somebody else is a big expert in mathematics, a big expert in medicine. There's a lot of big experts out in the world. Philosophy, there's a lot of very big experts in the world. Elav Hayom, if it weren't for the day, knew like this. Had the Jewish people not said, we want that you should speak to us directly, we would have gotten the Torah a few days earlier. The whole idea that God told them to extend the Torah another 3 days so they could sanctify themselves is because God bought into what they want, that God is going to speak directly to them, and therefore they had to reach a higher level of spiritual elevation so that they could receive a direct message from God. That's what the Torah is telling us. Elav Hayom, meaning, if it were not that we received the Torah today, which is 3 days later because of our connecting to God, because God is offering it and proffering it to us, and we said, yes, we want to be connected to you. We don't want just rules and regulations. We want a connection to you. Kamiyosika Vishuka. Today is really the critical thing. If it wouldn't have been for today, we could have had the Torah 3 days earlier. If it wouldn't have been that we got it today, which is the reason it was 3 days later, is because God offered it to them. But until they said, we really want to see you, we want you to talk to us, we want it to be a relationship, there would be a lot of other Yossi and Shuka. You know, the real difference between a Jew and anybody else is not the fact that we have these rules and regulations. Everybody has their behavior. Okay, maybe these are a little nicer way of behaving, a little more sophisticated way of behaving. But other nations have their rules and rights and everything else. Elav, but we, God didn't just give us rules of behavior. He actually made us, it gave us the ability to connect and unify and merge with him. That was really what changed the person. The transformative experience of receiving the Torah is not fulfilling the mitzvahs, but the idea that it's really a relationship with God. That's really what changes a person. That's a relation with God. That happened 3 days later than it would have happened getting the Torah. If Torah was only rules and regulations. Therefore, he's saying, if it wouldn't be for today, the today is the proof that he delayed it until we were able to really enter into a real relationship with him. We would have had the Torah earlier on, but it wouldn't have been a relationship. It would have just been rules and regulations. That's what I think the Talmud is telling us. Just like to conclude with one thing that I think is also very important. What happened on the first day? All they did was show up. No, now that they showed up, God is saying to Moses, this is what when I told you in Egypt that in the future they're going to receive the Torah, the Baal Torah, it was this day, on the first day of Sivan. It was yesterday, a couple thousand years ago. So my question, what did they do yesterday? They showed up. All the dialogue started before them. There was one thing that happened yesterday. And that was that we were able to live together and camp together. We were able to, we are able, you know, neighbors, being a neighbor with somebody is a very tough relationship. You're making too much noise at night. You're blocking my view. You have your parties, you have too many parties. Being a neighbor is a very difficult relationship. There's always issues with neighbors. And the fact that all the Jews were able to camp together physically, there was no receiving of the Torah yesterday, nothing. But there was the fact that we were able to live together, that we were able to be connected to each other, that we were able to be comfortable in each other's presence. There was no discomfort. We weren't crowded because there were so many people in such a short and small space, you get crowded. You know, what happens when you have a small space? People are pushing and this, and there's so many people. We all became one. We were all comfortable living with each other. That's an enormous feeling, I think, and probably the beginning of God being able. How do we have that feeling? How? Why don't you? Why am I not bothered by the fact that we don't have enough space? That we're cramped and crowded? That usually creates a lot of friction. So why didn't that happen there? Why didn't that happen? How come people were not aggravated? How could it be that we could all live together, camp in a small space, and not really being on top of each other? You know, it's hard for people to be on top of each other, and that's what was said in the first day. We came to Rosh Chodesh Nissan, Rashi said we were like one person. We didn't feel other people were on top of us. There's only one possible explanation to that. We all sense that we are one. Why are we one?
Same goal.
Well, there's no mention of goals yet.
We like each other.
Okay, you know, even people you like, sometimes you like little, make a little separation too. What about we all came from the same source? We all realize that human being is also just a reflection of God. We all sense that we have something in common, that we are really only one person. We're all, there's a collective oneness, that we all have within us the same oneness. We all do agree with this, right? 10 strangers in a room, 10 kids of strangers are not going to be as good as 10 cousins. My cousins, you know, family is, you don't feel as crowded, you don't feel sleeping, someone hits you, it doesn't bother you. A stranger, I was on an airplane yesterday, fighting over the armrest. It's not a family, it's a different feeling. How about if we all come, we all sense, we're all related, every Jew is related because we're connected to God. So probably that's the beginning of God wanting to reveal himself to us also, that he merged with us because we ourselves sense the godliness within ourselves and the godliness within each other. And therefore, when God wants to give over his kaviyochol, you know, anthropomorphically speaking, his inner self to us, we are very comfortable in taking it. The real merit of the Exodus of Egypt is not that we are going to take on rules and regulations. We have plenty of rules and regulations of Pharaoh. I don't know what the number was, 613, but there was probably not one second that we didn't have something to do, and some rule that we had to follow, and some regulation we had to follow when we were Pharaoh. So what's the big deal? So now God gives us different rules and regulations. Believe me, Pharaoh had rules and regulations for all of us too, and very strong and strict. That was rules and regulations. The whole idea of receiving the Torah is we understood that it's not about rules and regulations, it's about a relationship with God. As we prepare for Shavuos, there's probably nothing more important than that. That's really what we're celebrating on the holiday. Not that we receive rules and regulations, but God opened himself up to us to involve us in a marriage with him, in a relationship with him. And the Torah is just, he's just telling us about himself. He's giving himself over. That's the real message of what the Torah is. And for that, again, we need those who have a greater understanding of how to look beyond the surface and to be able to just sense the inner sense of a person, the inner self of a person, and not just need all the... You have to be able to... There was a very smart man who once said, he's a very brilliant guy, but he was here in America a couple of months, and they saw him reading newspapers in French and in Russian, languages he didn't know. There's one, Chaim Brisker said he was the biggest genius in all those years he had ever encountered. And somebody asked him, how can you read Chinese or whatever the newspapers were? So in his modest way, he said, it's not about any newspaper. It's not about what it says. It's learning how to read between the lines. And between the lines, it's all the same. It's not about what it says. It's about reading between the lines. You know, human beings, it's the same thing. In every relationship, it's not about what the person says. It's about being able to see in between the lines. Everybody should have a great, great Shabbos, a great Yom Tov.